Public Bays, Commissioner. However, I have one hit-a-run on the Gemara, which we concluded last week, about Marbitzin B'Shvias Kedeshi Yetsu Yirokos B'Matzoi Shvias. The Gemara had said, in the last brisa that it quoted, four lines before the Mishnah, that one is permitted to go ahead and lightly water a field on Shemitah in order to go ahead and what? It produces vegetables after Shemitah. And the question which everybody asks is, how's that possible? How's that possible? After all, the halacha is that you are not permitted to plant the last day of Shemitah, even if it's the last day of Shemitah. So how can you start watering a lawn 3 months before Shemitah so that it'll grow after Shemitah? Even the last day of Shemitah, you're not allowed to be Zoreya. So Rav Moshe, and I was going to photostat it, but the place where I saw Rav Moshe quoted just gives the wrong maramakom, because it says Igros Moshe Yoredeya Gimel Simen Kuftes, and Simen Kuftes has nothing to do with this whatsoever. It's talking about in Yoni Geirus, so it has nothing to do with this. But anyhow, this is Rav Moshe supposedly said, and it's Ma'od Ma'od Mistaber. He said that Hashka'a, watering a plant, a garden, is not one of the malachos that are prohibited during Shemitah. We've been learning Moed Katan, you know, for several months already, and no place did we ever see that there is an Iser of Hashka'a. We know that the Gemara is rather tight as to what constitutes a malacha. Either something which is mefurish b'kra, or something which is very, very similar to it. But hashka'a doesn't fit that criteria, especially if you require that which is in the pasuk. Sotcha lo sizra, v'karmecha lo sizmar. That's it. We just read it last Shabbos. So why is hashka'a awesome? Because of the toelet that it produces. Why should I not go ahead and water a field during Shemitah? Because the toelet is that something's going to grow during Shemitah as a result. So herein lies the chiluk. If the activity which you want to do late in the year during the Shemitah year is a melacha by definition prohibited on Shemitah, then of course you can't do it from day number one to day number 354. Not only are you not allowed to do it day number one, based on the mitzvah of Tosefa Shemitah, you have to stop 30 days before day number one, which is Rosh Hashanah. You have to start Rosh Chodesh Elul, avoiding activities which will be defined as a real malacha. But anything that's not defined as a real malacha, but it is only prohibited based on the toeles that will take place, namely, I am not permitted to do this because it will help in things grow. That is only if the toeles is going to be realized during the Shemitah year. But if the toeles is not going to be reached or realized during the Shemitah year, then that particular activity becomes permissible. So hence, marbitzin b'shvias, you're allowed to water a garden during Shemitah, Lehotzi peros laachar hashmita. Yes.
This is a tiny bit of a non sequitur. I just gone shmita. How did Klai Yisrael ever get in trouble with shmita? Because Hashem always had to prove himself in the sixth year first, didn't he? Because he says, I'm going to make sure you can have enough to last you. So didn't it always know they knew they were all getting X amount of crops every year? All of a sudden shmita, all of a sudden sixth year comes, and now they don't get double what they were getting every other year. They'd be like, oh, Hashem broke his promise, so why do we have to do Shemitah? Or did they get the double, and then they were like, forget it anyway, we still want to.
We don't have any historical records of what happened between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. We don't have it. There are no historical records.
No, it's no a good question. Any of that? Like how they missed that?
No. All it says is that they failed to observe the Shemitah. So it could have been for one of two reasons. Either the blessing was realized and they ignored it, or the halacha is that even if you don't realize it, you still have to observe the laws of Shemitah. That's just an assuring, you know. That's let's assume it says, you know, at the beginning of the Shema, not only for Shema, for every mitzvah. Minasati Asef Besadich Adonai Ve'achalta V'Savata, or there'll be Yore Umalkosh Be'ito. Great. So 1 year there's going to be a famine. Oh, we're all exempt from all mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you observe my mitzvahs, I'll give you the rain. Ah, if there's no rain, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke his promise. We observed our mitzvahs. The answer is, it's not a two-way street. Yeah.
We do know in the late 1800s, people tried to keep Shemitah, they actually died. That's scary.
Really? Who tried to observe Shemitah?
I always say
observing Shemitah is the most difficult mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given, without a shadow of a doubt. I don't think any mitzvah tests anyone's emunah more than Shemitah. I can't imagine. Because I always say, just imagine it was not limited to an agricultural society. It was even in a profession, in a manufacturing society, after the Industrial Revolution. Everybody had to stop working for a year to recognize that what we earn is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing. Try telling that to your bank. I'm not paying my mortgage this year because I don't work. Try telling your employer to hold on to your job for a year. I'm not working this year. Also, every 7 years.
Also, maybe they kept the Shemitah related to the Aretz, but they didn't do the Shemitah Kesafim, and also there could have been other parts of Shemitah.
Okay, but it always is Eretz Tirtzeh Aretz Shab Soseha. We read it in that's why I said, if you remember, did I tell you this? My famous Russia. Why it says, opening up Parshas Bahar, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Leimor. So Rashi is Lomin Ma'intin Shmita Laretz Harsina. So Rashi gives his answer to tell you that just as Kloloseha Neam B'Sinai Af Dikdu Keil Protel B'Sinai. That just as by the mitzvah of Shemitah, not only was the generality given at Sinai, but every detail was given at Sinai. Kach, all other mitzvahs the same thing. Not only the broad strokes were given at Sinai, but every single detail. So what's the weakness with Rashi's comment?
You need to tell me
why Shemitah.
Why'd it have to be Shemitah? I could have started the Parsha of Tzitzis this way. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Leimor Daber Bnei Yisrael V'Matal Lasem Tzitzis. And we'd ask the question, Mayan Tzitzis Eisel Har Sinai? And give the same answer. Why did it have to be Shemitah? So I suggested that it's based on something that the Torah writes about the Har Sinai experience. Am Yisrael went to Moshe and said, Daber atah v'nishma'a v'al yidaber Elohim imanu pen namut. We will read it next Sunday morning in Yitzhak Hashem, first day of Shavuos. You speak to Rabbi Nishila and Moshe Rabbeinu because we don't want to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu and die. We don't want to hear it. Says Moshe to Bnei Yisrael, no, you have to hear the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? One is La'aba'avur nasot etchem, to give you an uplifting experience. And the next thing is Le'ba'avur tihiyeh yir'ato al p'neichem le'vilti techetavu. So that the fear of God shall be upon you, so that you will not sin. So when you, what does that mean? That you'll always remember standing at Sinai, that terrorizing experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, Moshe said, I can't use this every day, because then it loses its clout. But I'm saving it for Shemitah. I want you to remember that which you heard at Har Sinai, the word of God Himself. Why? Since this mitzvah offers the greatest challenge to Emunah, Moshe had to remind them about the Shemitah, the Har Sinai experience. Otherwise, they would have enormous difficulty observing the Shemitah. They had enormous difficulty anyhow. But it's no doubt one of the most, I think it's the most difficult mitzvah to observe.
In last week's shiur.
Yes.
Did you want to ask about that?
No, that's what we said before. Yeah. Going back to our Rosh's.
Yes.
So we're saying that since watering is not explicit in the Torah, that's why you can do
That's why it only is prohibited during the Shemitah year because of Toeles that it produces.
Right. So why does it have to be Marmitza and only sprinkle? What about outright Hashkafa?
Okay, that's a good question. It's an excellent question.
Wouldn't they have been exempt?
So the answer is to that, very simple. During Shemitah, I don't have a good answer for that. During Moed, I have an answer. Tircha, the Tircha issue. During Shemitah, that's a good question. If this is indeed the rationale, why is it only sprinkling Marbitzin? Why don't you say you're allowed to take out the holes and water it during Shemitah year to grow after Shemitah? That's an excellent question. I don't know. Yeah.
When you mentioned that question that people in the 1800s did it and they literally died from it, wouldn't that have already been taking it too far though? Because that's not one of the mitzvahs you have to die over. So wouldn't they have been exempt as soon as that we were getting to the point?
Of course they would be exempt.
Maybe Hashem only wanted us to keep it to a point where it started to get like, okay, now we're in danger. Okay, now go back to it.
I would agree with that. He would probably have told them not to observe Shemitah if they were going to die. No doubt.
The Rambam last week.
Yes.
Who did you say he passed him like? Rabbi Elazar or the Chamim? And there was a problem the way he worded the halacha and halacha ches.
Yeah, he writes in the last line.
He writes in the first line. He quoted the first line. Amashem beis shalach and b'shriyas. So I think he said he quoted like Rabbi Elazar, but he allowed the watering, right?
Amashem beis shalach and b'shriyas v'hi sada hazriyas shetzmei b'yoser. Right, but it's only beis hashalachin. Right. Rashi said this is a stay lovan.
So who did? I just thought it was interesting that the Rambam added the words of, because no one ever quoted the halacha of shetzma b'yoter. It's like it seems like.
No, but that's what a beis hashalachin is. Why is a beis hashalachin different? Because it's me'ab b'yoter. It's very thirsty because it doesn't get enough rain because it's on the hill.
So he's stating the definition.
Yes,
twice.
He stated the definition.
He formulated it weird.
Okay. Last year, had you been here last week, I would have given you a better answer. But it's impressive that you listened to the shiur, right?
I did.
That's very impressive.
I can't ask the tape recorder.
What?
I can't ask the tape recorder.
No, that's true. Okay. Let's go to the next mission. Says the mission. Tzadin eso issues. You're allowed to capture Ishus. Ishus is a certain rodent that doesn't see. And there is a pasuk in Tanakh that compares Am Yisrael of those who don't have the ability to see the future Geula that is awaiting Am Yisrael to this Ashes, which is a rodent that doesn't see, but apparently it does a lot of damage to crops. That's still relevant to us. The esach barim, and a mousey. You're allowed to capture mice from your stay ilan and from your stay halavan, kidarko, in the normal fashion of tzeda, of putting up a trap. Bimoed, ubishvius. You're allowed to do so on Chol HaMoed and Shemitah. The Chachamim Oimrim, Mistei HaOilon Kidarko, Umistei HaLavon Shelo Kidarko. The Chachamim say, no, a Stei HaOilon, where the damage is enormous with these rodents and mice, there you're allowed to do it Sod Kidarko for a stay lovan, which is a grain field typically, or vegetables, but typically a grain field, you have to do it Shelo Kidarko. So, in light of what we just said literally 5 minutes ago, please ask Tosis's Kasha on this Mishnah. In light of what we said 5 minutes ago about Shemitah,
why should this be? Why say it at all?
Why?
Because
it's not prohibited. That's Tosis's kasha. Tosis's kasha is what chidush is added that you're allowed a tzad on Shemitah? When you're dealing with Moed, Yom Tov, so we know Tzeda is one of the malachas. But what does Shemitah have to do with this? What does Shemitah have to do with this? So take a look at the bottom Tosis. Tema. That says Bamir Avunda. My Kamashwan Bishvis. What exactly is the Mishnah letting me know that you're allowed to go ahead and sod during Shemitah? The Halo Ein Zu Avodas Karka. It's not a malacha that takes place on the karka. The Rabbi Yehuda, my time with the Asa Kedarka. Rabbi Yehuda, why did he prohibit engaging in normal capture? Because Tosfos and many Rishonim don't have a Chachamim. They have a different gears in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that the one who distinguishes between Stei Lavan and Stei Ilan are the Chachamim. The Rush's Girsa, Tosfos's Girsa, the Riv's Girsa is that it was Rabbi Yehuda. That's why Tosfos is quoting Rabbi Yehuda. So why would he say that for a Stei Lavan you have to be Tzad Shalo Kedarko? That would indicate that there's essentially something wrong with being Tzad in the first place. Kedarko, why? What might be the Issa? V'yeshloimar, so Tosfos gives one of the standard answers. Devadai tzorich lemiskal avanim mitok sodeyu kishimifane ha'ishus. What do you have to do? You have to remove stones when you finally capture these ishus. Why? Because, what? What? Because they hide under the rocks. Precisely. That's what Tosfos says. If the trap works, they usually hide underneath the rocks. So you're going to have to move a rock. Well, moving a rock looks like what, malacha? Choresh. When you remove rocks, that you're improving the quality of the land. And that's why it appears as choresh. That's a standard interpretation which many people give. However, some others say that it's when you're setting up the trap, you have to dig. They all operate below ground level. That's where they do their work. So you have to put the trap somewhere below ground level, and the only way to do so is to do what? Is to dig out the earth a little. So that would be tzad. That would be tzad. And that would be choresh. Misakel would be choresh. However, so why do we allow it? Because mitsudaso mochiach olav. The fact that you put a trap here is proof positive that I'm not doing it for what reason? To improve the land. I'm doing it to catch lousy mice. So therefore, even though it does appear, if you did engage in an activity which by definition is choresh and is prohibited, at least based on asay, bechorish ubakotzir tishbos, so it does appear as a mitzvah asay, nonetheless, it's permissible due to the fact that you put a trap, that's an indication that I'm doing it for a different reason, not for the purpose of improving the land. Exactly. Not improving the land.
I don't understand the way that Tosfos asks the question, because couldn't you have just said that the Mishnah, the author of the Mishnah, was following the same Lashon that he used in the first Mishnah? So we start off where everyone's saying, Bamoid of Ashfiz. That's how the first Mishnah start off. And then say that Rehud is not mentioning the other thing at all. He's just talking about Bamoid.
Okay, but did we ever find that the Gemara did that by our opening Mishnah?
What do you mean?
Did anybody in the Gemara say that the opening Mishnah really is only talking about Chol HaMoed, doesn't apply to Shemitah? But it's mentioned together, so that's why we're going to mention it together? It would have to be the pattern in many Mishnayos, where you mention them together and it only applies to one. That happens sometimes. But you can't have a one-time exception to the time when all the other times when Shemitah and Moed are, there are concerns for both. If you have sometimes when it does, you know, then, yeah. That could be one of those times.
Are we saying now that Marasayan means even maybe...
I didn't say anything about Marasayan.
It appears the reason why Sud might be a problem here, it looks like I'm digging out...
It's not because of Sud.
Because
of Choresh.
It looks like I'm doing Choresh.
You are doing Choresh. You're taking a rock away from the ground. Rocks don't enable things to grow.
Why?
But grass. So when you remove it, it now enables, there's more land for the crops to expand and so on and so forth.
Saying if I'm building a house, I can't move rocks out of my field for the purpose of the rocks?
That is correct. If you're building a house?
But I want the rocks. I can't take rocks out of my field.
So then you're asking a different question. That's Lachshin Tzrich Lagufa. That's something else.
Is that a malacha as far as Shemitah is concerned?
That's a Mishnah. If you're building a wall, that's a Mishnah Shemitah.
We're going to have a Mishnah here too about building a wall, Shemitah. When a wall falls down, we're going to have it the next line.
Would you say when I'm watering my garden at Shemitah with the intention of talking about the vegetables later on at Shemitah, is that clear to everybody that's the case? Or you know, worry now, someone might think I'm out of water my garden on Shemitah because.
No, the case is, it says, Marbitzin, Sadeh, Kideshi Yetsu Yurakos.
I know that, but how about the guy walking by? Does it matter as far as.
Well, he can't be. You can't have something that, of Marasayan that you're allowed to do. If the Mishnah says you're allowed to do it, some guy is going to make. If you want to apply Marasayan to that, you will not be able to do anything in your life. You have to sit there like this. Because I can think of anything in this world. I told you, did we do Beitza here? No. But whenever we mention Marasayan. You're now allowed to walk on Cedar Lane on Shabbos. Why? Somebody's going to say you're going to Rockland's to buy the newspaper to check on a Shabbos game, an important game that was played Friday night. Can't make up about resilience. So, anyhow, that's what Tosfos says. The Rima Miparis offers another explanation. He says, it's got nothing to do. The reason why it looks like Choresh, Mesakel, is not because you're removing the rocks. You're removing the Ishus. Exactly. Precisely. Choresh with rocks is. Why is Choresh considered. Why is Mesakel considered Choresh? Choresh normally means you till the ground. Picking up a rock, you don't till the ground. But you remove something that is an impediment to growth. That's the definition. That's why Misakel is awesome. Well, if that's the case, I don't have to move the rock. The Ishus itself, the Achbar itself, is an impediment to growth. And as a result, it should be prohibited based on the fact that it's Choresh. Based on the fact that it's Choresh. However, he adds Alondus. Knowing what Ishus does. The only time that Choresh Misakel is Asur is if it goes ahead and what? And improves the Karka. The Ishus does not destroy the Karka. It destroys the crops. So it's not exactly analogous to Misakel. In order for something to really be Asur, says the Rimi Pariz, it has to not only be detrimental to the that which is growing. For example, are you allowed to be tolesh weeds that are growing? Right? Tolesh weeds. Now the answer is no. Because the weeds interrupt, they are detrimental to what? To the ground, and they're detrimental to the grain. But if something's not detrimental to the ground, it can't be usur mishum shvius. Hence, they allow it during Shemitah. Hence, they allow. But in theory, it's not the removal of the rocks that are the problem. It's the actual removing of a detrimental force, which is the issue which the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah has to tell me, you're allowed to do so. Because I could have said that as long as it's detrimental to the grain, it should be just as usur as if it would be detrimental to the ground. Kacha omer ha ri mi pariz. Mima pariz. Now, if during Moed, by Moed, it's got nothing to do with either of those things. You have to again introduce the Tircha dimension. So if you have to move rocks, that's a lot of Tircha. If you don't have to, so that's what the issue might be. They say just to move a rock or two is not a big issue. Then the Chachamim say that you're only allowed to, or Rabbi Huda says, you're only allowed to trap Kidarko if it's a Stei Ilon. But if it's not a Stei Ilon, under those circumstances, it's Asur to do it Kidarko, and it has to be Shelo Kidarko. The Gemara itself will later on define what constitutes Kidarko and Shelo Kidarko in relationship to Tzad. The Gemara will talk about that. But what might be the difference between the two fundamentally? Why, if you have rodents in a grain field versus rodents in a field tree, what might be the difference? So, I believe Rashi says, let's look at the Rashi. B'stei ilon, tzad kidarko, mipnei hefsed merubuhu. Mice who get a hold of fruit-bearing trees or the ground around it are enormously detrimental. Okay? Anybody here a farmer can tell me why? I can't. However, Estei Lavan, says Rashi, Ubestei on Shelo Kedarka, Ve'eino yachol otzud kedarka Ubestei Lavan, Mishim delo mafsid kule hai Ubestei Lavan. They don't cause that much damage in a grain field. Why? I can't tell you. Where I'm talking for myself, I'm afraid of a mouse no matter where he is. They're a field tree, they're a mouse, they're a Estei Lavan. Makes no difference. Other Rishonim say that by Estei Lavan, there is no damage whatsoever. And based on the Braisa later, the Rambam will paskin that you're not allowed to be tzad at all by a Estei Lavan. Not just that there's little damage, there is no damage, and I see no reason to be makdir it, but we'll see the Braisa later on. So let's see what the Gemara says.
One more line of the
Mishnah. Oh yeah, excuse me. Umakrin es hapirza b'moed u'bishviyas boni kedarko. You're allowed to repair a broken wall on Cholosh HaMoed, but not in the normal fashion. The Gemara will explain what exactly makrin is. And on Shemitah, you're allowed to build a fence completely, a normal fence on Shemitah. What's the chiddush? Bona is not usher during the Shemitah. So why do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? Because there is a secondary halacha that anything that does grow during the Shemitah year is hefker. Right? It's for everybody. The garim hatoshavim mach. They're all. It's supposed to be hefker. So if we see you putting up a fence, it appears that they're legislating Mishamara Sayin. It looks like, what are you doing? You're protecting it and not going to gain access to the Aniyim. And then they'll try to go somewhere else. They may not get enough food, whatever it is. Even though you plan on opening it, when the Zman Habir comes, you're going to have anybody in. But since it generates the impression that you're looking to isolate and keep out, therefore I have to have a Mishnah to tell me that you're allowed to build. And a Chol Shamoed, obviously it's an issue based on the fact that there's a lot of Tircha, so we allow it for certain reasons, but only to repair it. We'll see how you repair it. The Gemara will talk about how you repair it. Says the Gemara, my Ishus, Los Idach Aishus, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Berei, Rabbi Huda, his son, said, "She'ein lo." Excuse me. I'm Rabbi Huda. Beria she'ein lo einayim, a creature that doesn't have eyes. Amar Rava bar Yishmal ve'itema Rav Yema bar Shlamya. What pasuk supports this? Shablul tamam yahaloch nafal eshes bal chazu shemesh. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, and that Am Yisrael are going to be like people who can't see the sun. The sun is the future geula, mi mizrach shemesh ad mevayoy. Kodesh Baruch Hu's richas hashemesh represents the beginning of the dawn of the new light. They can't see it. That's why Ishus is a little rodent that you can't see. There's no eyes. Anybody study, remember biology days? What type of rodent is it? It doesn't have any eyes?
Well, here it says a mole.
A mole?
No, they have eyes. They're just not able to see.
Or their eyes are covered over with skin.
So, oh, they can't see? So how do they get around?
They use smell and
sound.
Smell,
oh, yeah. Wow.
Bats also don't see very well. They use sonar.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Good. Tanu Rabban. Sodin eso ishus bes ha'achbara misdei lavan u'misdei ha'ilon kidarka. There's a brisa that disagrees with our Mishnah, which says that you're, or at least one opinion in the Mishnah, and supports the other, that you're allowed to be tzod the ishus and avon from misdei lavan and misdei ilon kidarka. U'machrivin chorei nimolin. And you're allowed to get rid of the holes of these little rodents, you're allowed to get rid of it.
Isn't a nimel an ant?
An ant? Yeah, ants. Excuse me, ants. Ketzav machriven. How do you get rid of ants? Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Aymer, maybe ofar mechor zeh, v'nosnin l'torch chor zeh, v'hein chokin zeh zeh. So, but Rashi explains it as follows. Ants develop a love for the ground that they're in. Just that they're in. If you bring dirt from another region, and the Gemara is going to explain how far that region has to be in order to create a different smell, they get very upset, and the ants from the new place, because every piece of ground's got ant in it, so when you bring the ants to the other place, they suddenly start, the ones who were there smell something new. The ones who are brought over also smell something new. And what they do is they strangle each other. Okay. That's how you take care of ant holes.
Thanks.
Work in my kitchen.
What?
Work in my kitchen.
What?
Well, the work in his kitchen.
Yeah. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that's what he said. Vein chokin ze'ezo. Omar Rav Yemar bar Shlamya mishmed habaye. V'hu deko'i betray avdei dinahara. This is only an expression borrowed from Lifnei Iver, where the Gemara Nazir says, in order to violate the law of Lifnei Iver, if you have somebody who's a Nazir and you bring him wine, you violate Lifnei Iver L'Sitin Yasha. So the Gemara says, "Vahu the Avre betray Avei Dinahar." If the wine's on the other side of the river and he can't get there, and you get it. But if it's on the same side of the river, you don't violate Lifnei Iver. Why? Because he could have picked it up himself. He doesn't need you to get it. So you don't violate Lifnei Iver under those circumstances. That's a famous word. Trei Ebre Dinahara. Vehu Deleka Gishwa. That's only if there is no bridge over the two sides of the river. Vehu Deleka Gamla. That's also only if there is no Gamla. A gamla is a bridge that is made with only one board. Vehu deleka metzra. And this is provided that there's not even a metzra. Metzra are those little string bridges that you would tie, you know, those are very, very temporary and not terribly safe. And under those circumstances, if none of those exist, then we can be assured that the dirt of ground A and dirt B is going to prove to be effective. But if it's on the same side of the river, or there's transportation across the river, under those circumstances, ants go all over the place and they're happy with both smells and they get used to it. Akama, how far does the distance have to be in order to keep the smell local? At parsa, just a parsa. Which is typically about a mile. Yeah.
They have a slightly higher number here.
What?
They have a slightly higher number here, which was going to be the basis of my question.
But about a parsa?
Yeah.
How much
between
higher?
Between 2.3 and 3 miles.
One parsa?
They say it's 8,000 amas.
It says a parsa
8,000
amas. 4 mil, which is 16,000 amas.
Okay, could be.
But they ask, isn't Karen, I know I know I'm, I have a funny question from the trainer, but isn't it a little bit of terrifying to say that I schlep a pile of dirt 4.6 miles round trip, at least? That's not terrifying to say, that's a lot. I don't know.
It's a good question. I guess we should all work out. And it shouldn't be much of a terrifying. Yeah.
Is this Bryson talking on Shmiyas or Chol Moed, or doesn't say?
Doesn't say.
So are we assuming it's both?
Lands on a ruined crops, do they?
It's certainly for Chol Moed, there's no doubt.
Why do you say
what
that?
What would be the Easter about Shvius? What would be the Easter about killing moles, ants?
The Mishnah said Shvius of Moed. No, you mean the Bryson.
That's correct, but there we're dealing with the Misakel issue. So you have the same thing here, that if you dig out the ground, you're going to move out some of the stones. Yeah, okay. Now there's a Gemara Baba Basra that says fish also have little regions of the ocean that they never cross over. Never. So the Gemara talks about that in relation to competition of business. That if you have bumblebee tuna spreading its nets here, then chicken of the sea wants to put more nets on. So the Gemara says they have to be as far away as what? Kimlo dug. The amount of distance that they go back and forth, they have a little zone which they're limited to. And beyond that, they don't move out of that zone. So if you put the water, the next net, out of that zone, that's not considered competition in business. Because nobody's taking any way fish. They don't go in both places. So the Gemara is fully familiar with the lifestyle of fish and ants. Yeah. I guess Rav would say he spent 6 months on a stay lavat. Like he said, I spent 6 months learning Heta Bechairos, to know what the movement of a Bechar is. 6 months on a farm, he said, I spent learning what it's considered a move for a Bechar. So you got what the smich of Yatir Yatir, to be allowing a Bechar to be eaten without bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Huda Imer. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mistei ho'ilan kidarkoi, mistei halavan shelo kidarka." Tana Rabban, ketzat kidarka. What's considered kidarka of a trap? Chayfer guma, you dig a hole, vitole bo matsuda, and you hang the trap there, right? Oh, right. That's what you do. Ketzat shelo kidarka. What is considered seida shelo kidarka? No a shpud, you stick a spit into the ground, umako bekardum, and you take like a hammer and hit the spit. And when you hit the cardum, what happens? The earth starts to shake. If you have a spoke, which you put it in the ground, you knock it, so the ground shakes. And when the ground shakes, what happens? It smothers the issues and the achbar that are there. That's shelo kidarka. Umaka bekarta umirata haadama shemitachteha, and now you shake the ground that is below it, and it falls on the thing, and they die from suffocation. Now, on the previous statement of Ad Kama Ad Parsa, Tosis offers two interpretations as to what the requirement of having a gap of a Parsa. Take a look at the top Tosis. The Ein Makirin Zeh Et Zeh Biyoseh Mi Parsa Afilu Below Nahar. Even if there is no Nahar whatsoever, if there is a distance of one Parsa, whatever it is, a parsa, they don't recognize the ground any longer, and that would be one way to do it. Inami, alternatively, hachi purusha, kishiyesh nahar, masai kruyin makirin. When there is a river to cross, when is it makirin? Ad parsa. Abel biyoser mikra, ein makirin. v'dafka diga, no. But beyond that, it's not makir. That's only if when? If there's a river in between. Then it's ad parsa. But without a river, what's the halakha? It goes way beyond the parsa, where they will recognize the earth, and bringing, it's got, he doesn't say how much, but it's not exactly a parsa under those circumstances if there is no river around. Okay, let's continue to Bryce. Tanya, Rab Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Kisha Omru Misdei Lavan Shelo Kedarko, Lo Omru Ela Bisdei Lavan Hasmucha Leir. When they said that you're allowed to engage in tzad for a stay lovin shelo kedarko, they only said it in a stay lovin hasmucha l'ir. Because then, if it's near the city, there's nothing to worry about. Mice don't go into cities. They'll stay local. Aval b'stay lovin hasmucha l'sod ha'ilan, but if the stay lovin is close to a stay ha'ilan, afilu kedarko, then you're allowed to be tzad kedarko, even on a stay lavan. Why? Shema yetsu mi stay lavan v'yachrivu esay lanos. Perhaps if they'll one day will take a little spatzir and they'll walk from this grain field, they'll go over to the tree field and they'll cause lots of damage. Fine. That's what the Braisa says. Now, take a look at Tosfos, and Tosfos says, I'm not quite sure what this last statement is referring to. Is he issuing a third opinion, and there would be three opinions in the Mishnah, or is he being mefaresh one of the other two opinions?
It's kisha amru.
What? When they said that you have, kisha amru means, when the halacha says you're only allowed to do it shelo kedarko, b'stei lavan. So take a look at Tosfos. Lo yodana mahu. I have no idea. It's the second place on the page. I don't know what this price is coming to do. Im hutana shlishi. Is this Rab Shimon ben Elazar a third opinion? So you'd have the Tanakama's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and Rab Shimon ben Elazar's opinion. O shemi yesh lomar, the Rabbi Yehuda mode b'stei lavan hasmucha l'stei ilan. V'chachamim mayri b'stores l'chana b'ez hashalachin lo b'stei hasmucha l'beis o'ilon. Or is he saying that, in effect, the opinion of Rab Shimon ben Elazar is being mefaresh Rabbi Huda's opinion? What did Rabbi Huda say? That if it's a stei lavan,
stei lavan shelo kedarko.
Is shelo kedarko? Because Tosfos believes that the Chachamim is Rabbi Huda.
All right.
So it's shelo kedarko. So now Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is qualified. When do we say that you have to do it shelo kedarko? Is only if the stei lavan is near the city. But if the stei lavan is near the field, then you're allowed to be tzad kedarko even for a stei lavan. Or does he represent the third opinion completely? In which case, according to Rabbi Huda of the Mishnah, there are no exceptions. No matter where that stei lavan is, it always has to be shelo kedarko. So he's not 100% sure which way to read Rab Shimon ben Elazar's opinion. Yeah. Okay, let's continue. Umakrin es hapirtza b'moed. And you're allowed to repair a broken wall during Chol HaMoed. Ketzad makrin. How do you repair a wall? Rabbi Yosef Omar behutza v'dafna. Rabbi Yosef says you use vines of a hutza or dafna. What's the English translation of a hutza and a dafna?
Palm.
A palm and?
Laurel.
And a what?
Laurel.
Laurel. Okay, so you use the vines of the palm and you weave them together and you make a little fence. B'masnita tana, in the Braisa it says, no. Tzor b'tzror v'eino tach b'tit. What you do is you take rocks and pile them one on top of the other, but there is no cement. So it looks like a wall, but it's not really a wall, because anybody who gives it a push can push it down, and that'll be the end of it. So there are two ways to engage in fixing a wall. Amar Achizda, lo shonu ele kosel hagina, avo kosel hechotzer bone kidarko. That which the Mishnah says you have to engage in temporary building, temporary repair, that's only for a chotzer, for a kosel hagina, a kosel around the garden. But a chotzer around what? A chotzer, a real field, you can do it kidarko. So most Rishonim believe it's again a question of Pseda. Your house garden is not going to be, what can they be growing? People growing a little vine tomato here and a peach here. It's not terrible losses. So there you have to engage in only shelo kedar. A chatzer is a field. We have hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of for fruit. So under those circumstances, you can repair the wall, even a solidified wall, based on the potential danger.
Shelo kedarko can mean extra tircha, though, right?
Why is it extra tircha just to take a rock and put it there without cementing it?
Is that
what the Gemara says? Tzar ve'eino tach petit.
Yeah.
Other Rishonim say no. That typically, the only reason why there would be a wall around a personal garden is l'nitirusa. Excuse me, litzniusa, for tznius purposes. What does that mean? You want to sit in your bathing suit in your backyard, and it's possible if everybody can see. Somebody has a pool. What do they want to do? They put it up. You know, we've seen what's happened in the bungalow colonies. There used to be no mechitz around, and it was this one. Now it goes 50 feet high, so you shouldn't see if you want a helicopter. You know? So you shouldn't see. And what's doing in the pool? So that's litzniusa. If it's only litzniusa, there is no hefsed whatsoever. And as a result, we're not going to allow you to repair it kedarko, but shaloi kedarko. But in a chotzer, the field is done linitirusa, to protect it from outside people coming in and stealing your crops. That you are permitted to engage in, even if it's normal bone on Cholul Shemoed. That was Rav Chista's statement.
What about Shvius? Wouldn't the reason be Pumfakert if we're talking about Shvius?
By Shvius? Well, the Mishnah didn't say. It says, Ube Shvius, Bona Kedarko.
Yeah, but I would think by Shvius, the whole Hefker issue and...
But he's planning on being Mafker everything. Sure. But there are times when you're allowed to have a fence up anyhow. You just have to be Mafker, you can't lock it. Have to let people in, but you're allowed to put up a fence to keep out robbers and to keep out animals. You're allowed to do that. Continues the Gemara. Lema Mesayale. Let us quote the following braisa, which support Rav Chista. Kosel hagocha l'rishus harabim soser ubone kidarko m'mnei sakana. If you have a wall that is falling apart, and it's right abutting the what? Rishus HaRabim? You're allowed to knock it down completely and rebuild it properly. Because of the potential danger that if you don't rebuild it, what might happen? Something will fall on somebody, they'll get hurt. This is Chol HaMoed. So now, the Gemara is trying to bring proof to Rav Chista to support his opinion. How might this support Rav Chista's opinion? So Rashi says, since it's so serubone kidarko, it's exactly what Rav Chista said, kosel chotzer. What are you allowed to do about a chotzer? You're allowed to be bone kidarko. Well, this Bryce also says you're allowed to be bone kidarko, albeit in a different case. Which case you're allowed to be bone kedarko? That's not. So the Gemara is going to say, it's not exactly the same. It's different reasons. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasam kidiktani tamab ne'asakana. There, the reason why we allow you to do this is ne'asakana. Here, we're not talking about ne'asakana. We're talking about hesed. Maybe there's no proof whatsoever from this particular brisa. The Ika de Amri and others say, no. Toshma, they learn it a little different. The brisa says, kosel hagokal rishus harabim, soser ubone kidarka b'ne'asakana. So now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Chisda's opinion. Dra, mibnei hasakana in. The only reason why we allow you to be bone kidarko, not without a shinui, is based on the fact that there is danger had you not prepared it properly. Shalom mibnei hasakana loy. Lema to have a tyufta de Rav Chisda. So let us say that quite the contrary, not offering support, the Brisa challenges Rav Chisda's opinion. And under ordinary circumstances, you always have to have a shinui and do it, and not a permanent wall. And it says, Amar Rav Chisda, Hasam Soser Ubone, Hacha Bone Velo Soser. Now, there's no challenge to me, because that brisa not only said that you're allowed to rebuild the wall, what are you allowed to do? In order to rebuild a wall effectively, you got to knock it down and build the whole thing. That that we allow, soser and boner, that's only with ne'asakana. I didn't say you're allowed to knock down the wall. If it's partially broken and you want to repair it, you have to just repair that which exists. But you cannot go ahead and knock down the wall. So that price is not a contradiction to me. What?
Where you put stira avinat, that's not
avinat nulos
on
kol. Stira shalom avinat nulos on yom tov is only also with the rabbanon.
Right. So I'm saying.
But here he's so avinat nulos.
Right. So stira in itself, nothing wrong with stira.
Correct. Only when it's avinat nulos. So that's the Gemara's next question. Hasam nami listor velo livnei. So the case of the danger where the wall is standing and dangling, what should we do?
Let him knock it down.
They'll knock the whole wall down, and that's it. To violate nothing on a doraisa level, even if you hold that malach is asa midoraisa, will it violate nothing?
Fix it after yantar.
Answers the Gemara: Im kain mimne velo soser. What might he not do if you don't allow him to rebuild it? What's he not going to do? I'm going to waste my time knocking it down, and then wait until after cholamayt, after yantar, to build it. And then there might be a little danger that some rock will fall on somebody and hurt them. So in order to avoid that potential danger, he allowed both. The Brisa allowed both. Amar Rav Ashi, Masnisin Nami Deka. Our Mishnah supports this as well. Diktani Ubishviyas during Shemitah Bona Kedarka. Says the Gemara, Dehecha, where? Ilei midechatzer, tzricha lemeimar. If it's in a chatzer, do I need a Mishnah to tell me that you're allowed to build a fence around what? Around a yard? No. Why should I not need a Mishnah to permit it? Why should I not... I don't have any need for the Brisa to tell me. El olav degina. What must it be talking about? The real chidush of the Mishnah is talking about what? A gina. Af al gav de mefse commander of the Tirusul Aperi, shma mina. Even though it appears that what he's doing is what?
The shmuel aperos, to watch his fruit.
That he's building the fence on Cholush HaMoed to protect his fruit. So what would be the problem?
He's not allowed to do that.
What do you mean? No, it says, Rashi says,
we're talking about Shvius over here.
No, so the Mishnah says, B'Shvius Bone Kedarko.
So he's saying, if it's a regular chatzer, it's just someone's courtyard, you can build around. You can
no, chatzer means a chatzer of a... The Gemara used the word chatzer as where your field is. Gina is your private garden around your house. That's how the Gemara used it before.
What is Rashi? What does that mean, Rashi? When Rashi says in Dibur Hasil Avol Kosel Chatzer, it says Began Vimimone.
Kosel, where is it?
It's like eight lines down in the wide, in the narrow lines of Rashi.
Avol Chatzer.
Avol Kosel Chatzer.
Yeah, the Yikub say the Yisera.
Right. What does the next part say?
The Iaile Boganve. If people will come in, they will steal his money. They'll steal the fruit. He'll lose an arm and a leg.
Mimone means that they're going to steal his crops. They're going to steal his money. And that would support, like he said, it's a chatzer. No, they're talking about it's chatzer, like from like it's chatzer his house versus field. But they said Mimone when they said that's on the end of a word.
I'm not sure. Not sure.
This translation here, he says that ein bechatzer lo tzuzram shayim makom lesser zos mishum shneir. I don't know if I'm reading it wrong.
Elav tugina rafak of the mechzik kaman de'amen teyusa leperi shmamina. Like he flips it around.
He writes here, Elaim the Chatzer, if you want to say that it's talking about a Kotel Shel Chatzer, Trichala Meimar, Haim Hes Hatana Hutzrach, La Shmia Lanu, Shemutr Lasos Kane, Halo Ein Bechatzer, Ilanos Uzraim, Sheyamakom Lesor Zos.
He's saying that a Chatzer is what you said, it's just a plain backyard.
Yeah, so then it means that whenever they say something in the Mishnah, it's got to be something with something in it.
So it's just the opposite. The Gina is where the fruits are, and the Chatzer is just the backyard.
The Mishnah never uses the word Sadeh. I mean, our Mishnah, or when he says...
The Mishnah doesn't say anything about Sadeh and Chatzer.
It just says Sadeh. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, we just learned at the beginning of today.
No, it says, Makronis HaPirtz of the Moed. That's all. The last line...
Oh, right. Makronis HaPirtz of the Moed.
Doesn't say anything.
Right, doesn't say either.
Right.
So he's saying, if it's a chatzer that has no fruit and fields, I don't need you to tell me anything in Shabbos. Obviously, all the things that we're talking about have to have food inside of them. You know, crops. Mm-hmm. So there's Elalav, Degina, that there's something growing there. Va'af al-gab, the mechse, command of it, Pirusul
appearance. He's looking to protect his crops.
Shema Amino, you're allowed to do it.
Okay.
That's the way he looks. I don't know how Rabbi Artspol does it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing?
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll stop here. And we'll continue next week about the Es Negoim on Chol HaShemoim.
2 weeks.
Very popular topic about the Es Negoim.